listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Mark and Matt Harris, the Tastemakers, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard our first guest. And let's welcome again Ajay Mehta. Ajay, thanks for taking the time to come in today.
Thank you very much. It's great. You guys are looking rather dapper, I might add, with your pocket squares, I can see.
Yeah, as you notice, Ajay, I don't have one with this seersucker suit, but I may do with my other little addition. Which
the flower?
The little flower.
Oh, how dainty. How cute.
Well, it's colorful.
It's adorable.
In lieu of the pocket square, it works just fine. But Ajay, thanks for taking the time to come in with us today. And
you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And sharing
Your career.
And I know you got a couple great things on. And for those of you who saw it earlier this week, or for those of you who missed it, Ajay was on the Rules of Engagement. Was that the season finale or the series finale?
The series is ending, I believe, in May. But this was the episode on Monday. That was March 25th, called Catering.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun, as you've all seen it, with all that dancing in the end, the Indian.
So let me ask you, Ajay, after seeing you the other day in the dancing, are you going to be in the next season's Dancing with the Stars, or possibly?
I tell you.
Possibly,
wouldn't that
huh?
be fun?
I after seeing you the other day, I must say your dancing was just as good, if not better,
than some of
these celebrities on Dancing with the Stars.
And that's a good question. Now, let me ask you this. If they did come to you, would you entertain the thought?
Oh, I'd love to do it.
Really?
It's a hell of a workout.
Yeah, I know.
It really is, because you see, when they're training for it, my God, the regimen that is, mm-hmm. and the stamina that you have to produce, which I think dancing is perhaps one of the best forms of exercising.
This is a fact. I mean, it's a hell of a workout. And
well, every season you've got these people, like for instance Kirstie Alley. I think she lost like 20 pounds over the season.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
And everybody is saying how great it is for the health wise.
I think it makes it exercising a lot more fun than just standing and just doing some.
You're right about that. My grievance with that show is it's extremely challenging, and 99% of the people are not familiar with dancing, and they're all new to it. Even though they've been training for 4 to 6 weeks or whatever, their first episode, those judges are so critical. They like rip them apart. Don't you think?
Sometimes they do.
Because I think there's a certain level of caliber that they're looking for. The fact that you've actually trained, and mm-hmm. if you've never danced, and some of these are athletes and people who are not even directly in the entertainment industry, or even if you are in the entertainment industry, you're not necessarily a dancer.
Right.
And I can understand what the grueling training that they have to go through. That's what makes it an exciting show, because they've taken the challenge. Well, I think it's so wonderful to bring back this form of dance form that is so great, and for years we've admired people like Fred Astaire, and you can go on with the list, and it's just amazing, and the way they dress up, and it's just it brought back basically the romance.
Right. I have to agree.
Make a push to get Ajay on the next season.
Yeah, let's get a push for it. Get in the next season of Dancing with the Stars. I must say, when I first heard the show was in development years ago, I the first thing I thought was, they have got to be kidding me. This has got disaster written all over it. Nobody's going to want to watch a bunch of celebrities trying to dance out there. It just sounded like it wasn't going to work. Boy, was I wrong with that one.
Boy, you sure were.
It's such a hit.
Watched every week, Monday and Tuesday. Is it Monday and Tuesday? Yeah, Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday's the results show.
I think people want that back.
I think they do.
They want quality. They want class. They want
wholesome values.
Exactly.
Family. The family can get together and watch the show together.
On another note, Ajay, back to you. Acting since 1989, is that safe to say?
That's when I made my primetime debut on NBC on Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh,
that's
right.
Three-part miniseries.
That was with Peter Ustinov.
This is the Pierce Brosnan?
That's right. He plays Fogg.
I
shot that in 88 in Hong Kong. They shot that scene, the Calcutta Harbour.
They're listening to us in Hong Kong, by the way, Ajay.
That's right.
Hello to our friends in Hong Kong Harbour.
Le Ho Ma.
Le Ho Ma.
That's Cantonese for you.
So that was 89, that remake was...
That's right.
I know Pierce Brosnan was in there. He was Phileas Fogg, and
that's
Peter Ustinov.
That's right.
He played one of his...
he plays Detective Fix, who's chasing him. because of that whole, that whole case.
Which, by the way, I love the original. They run that thing on Turner Classic all the time.
Isn't it amazing?
I love that
with
movie.
David Niven?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Canton Floss.
Canton Floss.
As Passepartout.
As Passepartout. How did you like, how did you compare the new one with the original?
I mean, they're two different things, because one, you're doing a mini-series, so the comparison is a bit difficult in that, mm-hmm. because in the film version, it's all, you know, it's all the entire story is mm-hmm. done in one shot, and they've sort of broke it up. I think, obviously, David Niven is just such an amazing and a brilliant actor,
right.
as is Pierce Brosnan. You know, he's
right.
So
one
wonderful.
Of your favorites.
I love Pierce Brosnan.
And a nice guy, and it was a lot of fun, and it was so wonderful to work with Sir Peter Ustinov.
Mm-hmm.
Who I got to know a little bit during the shoot, and just one of the nicest down-to-earth mm-hmm. human beings, and he was an ambassador for the for UNICEF.
Oh, that's right, he was.
Yeah. Just
so you were acting. Were you acting in? Were you born and raised in India then?
I grew up in India. I was born in New Delhi.
So were you acting in India?
I wanted to be an actor since I was 3 and a half.
Oh wow.
So
that was your calling.
That was
from
my
way
calling.
Back when.
It comes. I think it stems from my parents, as people always bring it up. How did you get into this? My father was an army man. He was into it, and he used to write playlets, and he was direct plays. And my mother also loved it. She loved.
So he was a military man, and he was also into.
Yeah, he was into acting. He loved the entertainment industry, and he was also a poet. So I think some of that genetically has sort of filtered into my system, mm-hmm. as it did to my siblings.
Right.
I have a sister and a brother. I'm the black sheep who decided to sort of take it up as a career.
Mm-hmm.
And so the journey started.
The journey started
in India a little bit, and then from there moved to Hong Kong. And that's when, in 88, as I mentioned, I shot Around the World in 80 Days, which was my primetime debut.
Okay.
And that's when I, you know, moved back to the States. And
so then after that, you moved on to other events, movies and TV.
From 24 to Sopranos to CSI.
There you go.
Oh, all the hits.
Now, I got to ask, do you have a favorite show that you've worked on over the years and a favorite actor or actress?
I think it's a unique experience on all these shows. 24 was wonderful to work on because it's such an exciting
show.
Love
that show.
As you
Miss
can understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't really sort of single one particular person out.
Did you play a villain?
No. On 24, I played a Middle Eastern ambassador. with no name, country. Because I think they were a bit concerned about, you know, who could you... You know,
mm-hmm.
when you actually think of that little ring
right.
that circles around that area, they didn't want to sort of pick. So I just joke about it, and I call it Falafelstan. So
okay, I like that. I like that as well.
I was actually a decent guy who doesn't like, you know, he sort of abhors terrorism, but at the same time, he's an ambassador for his country.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, these are the front guys, and what the leaders do, irrespective of what the leaders do, they have to sort of, cover for them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's basically what happens at that.
What, just to get off the subject real quick, what do you think of the success of Slumdog Millionaire from a few years ago?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's to think that they nearly ended up on DVD and Fox Searchlight sort of rescued them, which I think is fantastic. The risk that independent films take is tremendous,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and it's changed the lives of so many of those, especially a lot of the actors who are coming out for the first time.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly. I think it was great. I went for the screening prior mm-hmm. to it opening in America, and I met Danny Boyle,
mm-hmm.
met Frida, and I met Dave, and a couple of other of the producers and all that sort of
great
stuff.
Great movie. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I did enjoy that.
Best picture.
Yeah. And so it was all about the how to be a millionaire over there. So I didn't even know that show was on over there in India.
Absolutely. You know? It was, yeah, it's a big thing there.
Is it still running over there?
I don't know. I think it might be because it's so popular.
Meredith Vieira is the host here. You know, she used to be on the Today Show. She's
That's
on
right.
locally on Channel 9, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
free shout out to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire locally. Yeah.
And the Today Show, one of your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what have we got? I guess this is a big weekend for this weekend. We've got
Before we tap on that, I got to tap on one of my favorite shows, one of my wife's favorite shows, and I believe one of your favorite shows too. And we've talked to you in the past, Ajay, when you've attended our gifting suites in the past.
Sure.
Royal Pains.
Oh,
I love Royal
absolutely.
Pains.
Yeah.
Royal Pains is a great. It's a great feel-good weekly show.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely, as you know, they've started working on season 5.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Season 5 already?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Can you believe it?
Are they like condensing seasons these days? In the past, weren't seasons like 24
episodes?
Well,
I always tell my son this. In the old days, the season would start in September,
yeah,
and it would go through May.
Yeah, and then it would be about 24 episodes.
Yeah, and then you would take the summer off, and then the season would start again in September. Now, you've got 6 episodes, and then I guess you have a 6-week break, or 5-week break.
I think they have a full run.
Full
for
run?
Their, for
you
their...
came back for a
I was
holiday,
back
a winter break. Or...
Well, they had the 2-hour film.
Okay. About
December,
the wedding.
About the wedding.
Yeah. Right, right.
Which you've seen.
Yeah.
Which was something they've never done before, which I think was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And now, if you remember what happens in the end, that, I guess, is where the storyline will pick up.
Okay.
For season 5.
And when does season 5 start filming?
They're filming it now, as
wow.
we speak.
Okay.
And I believe... it should start airing. I have to look it up on their IMDb. I think towards the end of June, as they usually do.
It's always mm-hmm. a good summer show.
Yeah.
You know, they take you to
the
Hamptons.
You know, it's the Hamptons.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It take you to the Hamptons
it's
in the summer.
Fun.
It's you know, it's a good pick-me-up
Mark
show.
And I have never been. We've always wanted to.
Oh, you
to,
love
to,
the Hamptons.
I got to ask you, Ajay.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's
ridiculous
beautiful.
Question,
it's
right?
It's beautiful. It's so scenic. It's so...
Here comes the lifestyle portion of the show.
There you go.
Continue,
and,
Ajay.
You know, I've been there for a polo match.
Oh,
I've been,
that sounds
I've,
very Hamptons-y.
You know, when we shoot, we've shot Royal Pains in Southamptons, and it was a multimillionaire's home who had this fabulous house and this, you know, sprawling garden. And
so you've done the entire
yeah,
Hamptons
you know,
thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so lovely because no matter where you are in the Hamptons, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
Do they still have that bus, the Hamptons Jitney?
Absolutely.
Still
it
from
goes
Manhattan?
From right where my place is in New York.
From
it's
from
about 2 blocks away, and there's a big lineup. And
so you don't have to worry about the traffic going out there. You just take the Jitney out
what
there?
What you do is you sit in the Jitney. You're
mm-hmm.
stuck in traffic. Because
yep.
if it's a Friday, you know you're going to be stuck in traffic.
Right.
You know, you listen to music or you just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
I believe years past, maybe 5-6 years ago, they used to actually have gift bags for the... the people riding in the Jitney.
Yeah, one of our competitors.
Yeah, one of our competitors.
Really?
Which is
yeah.
no longer around, by the way.
I've never taken the Jitney because
okay.
I was always driven there.
So yeah.
What can
nice.
I tell you?
Yeah, but the Royal Pains, to watch it during the summer,
is refreshing.
It's refreshing. It's exciting. It's,
other
it's,
than the Boris, who's he's not really a villain.
I think he might have just
And even
gotten,
you're not really a villain either.
He's
so.
Just a,
I'm just a difficult father.
He's a difficult father.
I'm not even sure how difficult you are.
Well, he's pretty difficult.
Well, now that I've had that drowning accident, it's a life-changing experience.
That's right. That's
but,
right.
But
he
you,
is a villain. You have to say he's
but,
a bad,
are
bad
you
boy.
Basically, Ajay, are you basically the traditional Indian father?
He is, I think so. I think in some ways he's old school.
Old school, okay.
And at the same time, as cosmopolitan as they are, because, you know, he's a real estate tycoon and what have you, when it comes to, I think we're all different. You know, when it's your daughter,
right?
No matter what, you know, what culture, you'll always be a bit more concerned than you would towards your sons. I mean, you have daughters. You tell me.
That's correct. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and I understand all that. But I got to say, you were pretty ice cold.
Oh, I know.
Ice cold.
It was mean.
Ice cold.
It was
but
mean.
And another thing, he's married. They've got him married to this beautiful. Beautiful woman. I don't even know what her name is, but
Anna
I mean,
George.
Oops,
Anna George.
Just breathtaking. They've got you hooked up with somebody that's pretty good. Love it. But it's a great
and
show.
And I have a beautiful daughter. So, you know,
there,
you
go.
Go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess these are all the components of a great show. You've got a quasi villain. You've got good looking
people.
You've got the Hamptons.
People love the luxury. People love the
good life.
The good life.
Course, absolutely.
Right. I mean, they love it. They
and,
love it.
And that's what the Tastemakers is here to talk about.
Absolutely.
And,
so,
and I think also the important thing is they're also dealing with a medical drama because of the doctor. But
they do it
in a very clever
Hankman.
And a fun sort
right.
of way
yeah,
without sort of
this.
Making it, you know, because medicine can be a bit sort of boring after a while.
He's almost like a MacGyver out there because he picks up all these different things that you wouldn't think he could bring somebody back
right,
to life by sticking this in there and twisting
right.
this around.
I've never researched that, but is that an industry out there in the Hamptons, the
concierge
medicine?
Doctor?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think so. I'm sure that they. I mean, obviously they've got hospitals. They have
sure.
to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got the concierge doctors out here in L.A.
Oh, we do.
Right. We almost got him in one of our events.
We almost got him.
But they didn't want to play ball with us.
No, I'm sure they picked it up. You know, with a real life person.
It seems like a great idea, a great concept. A concierge doctor in the Hamptons, if you can afford it, you could just pay for the doctor to come. Well, I guess it's like a house call, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically, but a bit more posh.
When Royal Pains came knocking, was it? Very competitive for your role? I mean, were you competing against other...
I'm sure I was, because I auditioned for it here in New York, and then when I got the role, I auditioned in L.A. So what did I say, New York? And then I moved to, flew to New York to shoot it.
Where is your home base? Are you
New I'm based
York?
In L.A.
You're
I'm
based in L.A.
In L.A. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does that feel when you get that call that says, Ajay, you got the role?
I think it's exciting, because now you've got another character to develop and play and mm-hmm. create. Did I know it was going to be recurring? No.
That's a nice plus.
So,
yeah.
You know, I've done 3 seasons so mm-hmm. far out of the 4 that they've shot. And let's see what happens. Mm.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next season when
Very
it starts in
so.
June. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great way to spend your... Is that Tuesday nights or Thursday nights?
Well, I think... Well, I don't know. Because I think it's Wednesday night.
On USA.
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday.
Good fashion, too.
It is good fashion.
Isn't that amazing?
Hey.
I mean, the costume designer, she's terrific.
Really?
Her name is Caroline Duncan. And
Shout out to Caroline Duncan.
She's young and she's brilliant and she really knows what she's doing. And I have a great time when I...
Everything about the show is perfect. The location, the fashion, the women,
the costumes, the
Listen,
cars.
Listen, it was
the
in my members. Drowning scene, that was $2,000 worth of wardrobe that went down in the swimming pool.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Couldn't they have done anything? Couldn't you use the, like, cheap
hey,
material?
No
go to Kmart? No.
They spare no expense on Royal Page,
Some people are really into the details.
And
there
it's good.
Go.
That makes, yeah, it, that makes right. the show that much better.
I agree.
You know, I'm floating out there.
And you looked awfully dapper out there, Ajay. You looked dapper as you were almost dead. So that's a great component to the show.
That's
again,
right.
the fashion, everything they got.
So we look forward to you returning for the next season of Royal Pains, which is fantastic.
I hope so. I don't know. They haven't called so
well,
far.
Well, I'm sure they will. They will.
Well, we look forward to that.
Well,
just the same.
Again, because you're the quasi-villain bad guy, and you have to have that in every
show. You've
got
to have the baddies, exactly.
The bad guy's the good role to have.
Yeah, now, they don't have to be killer villain or rob the bank villain, but it's good to have some component
of a
villain.
It's a little dark and mean. A meanie out there. Because
I was talking about it. I said, even when you look at... parts of America where people are still rather conservative because of their religion and what have you, there'll be striking similarities. Of course, when it comes to the East, it's much more prevalent.
Sure.
And I think that was part of the drama that helped mm-hmm. on the show. And it's a great way to sort of show people that, you've got to trust your children and you've got to let go at some point.
Right.
And I think that's the message there.
As
message well taken.
Message.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will see you returning to Royal Pains.
Thank you.
In addition to that, I know you have something else coming on the Sundance Channel.
That's Rectify, which is their first, I believe it's their wholly owned first scripted drama.
Really?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And that starts in April. I shot that in Georgia. That's where it's based. It's about a guy who comes out of death row after 18 years.
18 years?
Yes. Now with DNA sampling and
so he was wrongly in prison then.
Well, that's the premise.
Okay.
And the town is divided, and I own like a gas station convenience store, and he's sort of I'm a little sympathetic towards him because I think perhaps maybe he was wrongly accused.
Is this going to be a weekly show?
Yes, it's a series. It's on Sundance. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great because Sundance is now, as you know, going into TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff
we
like that.
We like. Are you, do you do Sundance? Do you do the dance?
Do I do the Sundance? Yeah, I do. Yes.
That's nice. Have you? We've hosted several events over the years. Have you attended? I'm not sure. Have you been to any of our events? Okay, next time.
Yeah.
Next year for sure.
Yeah.
At Sundance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were pretty unclear with that when you just said, "Have you done the Sundance?" And
that's
we were
right.
just talking about dancing.
Unclear. My
I see. I thought you meant the Sundance.
Ajay's thinking you're doing a dance called
Sundance.
Yeah. I get you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when does the Rectify start?
I believe April 22nd, but I'm not
check sure. Your local listings for Rectify on the Sundance Channel later in
April. Check your local listings like you check your local listings for an episode of Storage Wars. Not easy to find what you're looking for, brother.
Even when you're on Storage Wars,
you
it's hard to find the day and time that you're actually going to be on.
I guess nowadays with all the different channels, or the different carriers, whether it's Time Warner, whether it's the Dish, DirecTV, or
Champion.
I think if you have
Charter,
the episode title,
that'll
that
help.
Helps.
Yeah. But go to the website, yeah, and fish
the
around
website.
The website and find out from there, and then go back and
that's
flick
so,
around.
It's so time consuming, though. You know, you just want to be able to know where to go, when to go.
Boy, you really want it easy, don't you?
I don't want to work that hard for it.
Well, I mean, it's, sometimes you have to work hard for it.
So, in addition to Rectify and hopefully Royal Pains up in the future, and just off your rules of engagement, you have a big.
Big opening this weekend.
Big movie coming out.
That's
this is
right.
This
would be almost like a summer blockbuster.
Right.
That's coming out.
What's the deal with it coming out in March?
Well, I don't know.
Because G.I. Joe Retaliation, which is now in 3D, was actually coming out last year in June.
Okay.
When as a summer.
Oh,
movie,
okay. As a summer release.
As a summer movie.
Which is what I was
but
talking
then
about.
They decided mm-hmm. that. It should be in 3D, which was a very sensible decision.
Oh, that's right. Now I remember.
So it
because
held
whenever
it back.
You see an action film in 3D with the special effects and the explosions and the bullet coming into you,
gotta love that
and stuff like that, kids absolutely love it, and it is truly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's on the heels of the Avengers that Paramount saw the success mm-hmm. of making it into a 3D movie, because when we shot it in New Orleans, which was basically in October of and November when I shot it in 2011, we didn't shoot it in 3D, you see. We just shot it the way...
So after the film was already done, they just converted to 3D.
That's right. And I believe that's, you know, it's quite... There's a lot of different things that you obviously... I'm not a technical person, so I don't know what they had to go through, but it's quite a process.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sort of, but as you can see from the trailer, it looks fantastic.
Well, it looks great.
It looks like it's nonstop action.
Tell us a little bit about your part in the movie.
I play the president of India, the Indian leader, and it was a lot of fun working.
Now, are you a villain?
Well, you're going to find out.
You've got to pay your $20 for your ticket this weekend.
Plus the popcorn.
Plus the popcorn and bring the kids.
Popcorn's almost as much as the ticket nowadays.
Bring a Sino with you. But
because
I'm sure it's worth
I don't even know how the movie is it ends, because when I booked the role, they don't give you the entire script, you see. You only get your pages, because today you have to be so careful
right.
with
yeah.
pirating and
it's
everything
like a
else.
National secret.
No kidding.
It is. It
national
is. It really
security.
Is. So I don't even know how it ends.
Well,
I mean, I know what I shot, but that's as far as it goes.
Right.
And
how long has it been that way, where you only get your limited script?
It happens with a lot of big budget films, and I can understand why they do that, because your name is watermarked on each page.
Yep.
So you can't sort of, you know, email it to anyone and so on and so forth. And I can understand that because, you know, the amount of money that goes into producing these films.
Is
now,
true?
Why would an actor be so foolish as to sort of pass it on to someone else? No, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
But at the same time, they have to cover themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically... So we shot, you know, what we were the world leaders and, you know, the plot line by seeing the trailers.
Now, this is a sequel to the first one? Or just
That's right.
Okay.
This is the sequel.
I
some of
the
characters that you know...
Carried
that,
over.
Like Jonathan Pryce, who plays the U.S. president,
right.
and Zartan, and so on, and those
they're
guys, Snake
one.
Eyes. You know, they're
yeah.
coming back.
Good.
And whoever got killed in that one is Sinai.
Well, Bruce Willis, I think, is in this too, isn't he?
Bruce Willis is in this.
And,
the Rock is in
The Rock, right.
That's right.
And that other young... what's his name? He's very popular now. Who's the other co-star in the movie? Next to The Rock. There's a younger...
You're talking about Katrona?
No.
I have no idea.
Okay.
But this is easily considered.
He was in the...
This is a all-star cast,
yeah.
big budget summer release coming out on Friday.
Right.
In 3D.
In 3D.
So I'm going to be in your face, guys.
Wow. I mean, this sounds...
This is my first 3D film, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
I love a good 3D film.
Yeah,
I do,
it's
too.
An exciting
but
medium.
Some 3D some films they make in 3Ds nowadays, I think 3D nowadays, I think, are really unnecessary.
That's
These
right.
Justin Bieber
That's
3D, right. or
oh,
Katy Perry 3D.
Yeah.
Come on, how silly is that?
Jurassic Park is coming out in 3D.
Now, that's got potential.
See, that makes sense, because
Absolutely.
When the dinosaur comes right into your face...
You want that T-Rex coming right at you, and that saliva dripping right
That's
your nose.
Right, exactly.
That's good. But
I agree.
Justin Bieber's and Katy Perry's?
I, why would they do this?
I think the technology is so brilliant that each, you know, every time they do a 3D movie, something new comes out, and I think it's exciting.
In addition, I think the producers are looking at like it's an extra $5 per ticket sold. That's
makes
3D.
Sense.
So yeah, you know,
yeah, well, it's called the entertainment industry. It's a business, right?
That's a business,
there
right? Was Die Hard the last one in 3D?
Because that was
no, we saw that.
We saw
that,
but yeah. I know we didn't see.
I saw it. Oh, was great.
Wasn't 3D?
What's it called? Good Day to
Good
Die.
Day to Die Hard.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Good Day to Die Hard. Right. Which was that's a great popcorn movie.
Yeah.
You had the action, the blood, the guts, explosions.
And G.I. Joe's going to be just like that with the nonstop action explosions.
When I saw scenes for that for the first time,
sometimes
I
get tired just watching these movies because there's so much action going on.
It's exhausting. That's the popcorn movie. I love sitting down there having my popcorn and watching some tanks explode and buildings blow up
go.
And gunfire and shotguns. So I'm getting my $20 worth.
Oh, you'll get more than your $20.
Absolutely.
When a movie like this comes out that you're in and the expectations are high and you know that it's going to be the number one movie that everybody's going to this weekend, are you looking at the numbers come Monday morning or Sunday afternoon? Are you looking to make to see how well it did?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be excited. In fact, I'm seeing it on Friday with some of my cast members.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see it on the IMAX at the ArcLight, so that'll be a lot of fun.
IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
Boy,
That's the way to see a movie.
And then we're seeing it for the first time, and we're excited, and and it'll be great to see it with an audience, a live audience.
So you haven't even seen your parts.
I haven't.
So you
didn't
even know how you did.
Only in the trailer, I saw a fleeting glance of what I was doing.
A little glimmer.
Yeah, you've seen the trailer the one I was in, a couple of them. So all I know is, all right. So we're there. We've not been cut out, which is great.
You don't want to end up on the cutting
room
floor?
And then yesterday, a journalist, it's a wonderful Indian newspaper called India West, she went for the screening.
Mm-hmm.
So she just emailed me, and she was, congratulated me. She was pretty happy with what I did, and so that was good to know.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it this weekend.
Are you seeing it this weekend?
I am seeing it this weekend
Blake
on Saturday.
Your Mark's son is.
Are you going to see it on the IMAX? You should.
Probably would, because my son, he likes to see these big budget pictures too, and he likes the full effect.
You want the full effect.
He wants the IMAX and 3D. And
He
wants to go the whole $20 route per ticket. So trust me, I know it's going to be
plus
well worth
the snacks.
Plus
course.
The snacks.
Yeah.
You're
there
right.
You
so we've got the popcorn and the jujubes and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
As I said, I think it's going to be a thrill ride all the way. So.
I only saw the first one. I didn't even see it in the theater. I saw it on TV. And you lose something when you see it on TV. But
true.
But you can't see every movie in the theater.
You can't. You know, as much as you'd like to.
You
got to
deal with what your wife
wants,
what your kids want.
Right. I haven't seen.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Well,
that just came out a couple of days ago.
I know, but I've been wanting to see that for a while. And usually when a movie comes out that I want to see for a while, I got to go opening weekend. It's part of the thrill, part of the high, being there opening weekend.
Right.
So that way on Monday morning you could talk to everybody about, did you see this? Did you see that? So come Monday morning this week, coming up, we could say, did you guys see the G.I. Joe movie? It's fantastic.
And what's exciting is that these are all comic books, basically.
Isn't that crazy?
And I think it's so wonderful that you can actually create these characters and bring them to life.
I loved the G.I. Joe when I was a kid.
Right. I loved my G.I. Joe when I was a kid, too. I wish I would still have the G.I. Joes. I'm sure they'd be worth a fortune.
Well, they started making a comeback about 15 years ago, the small little
six-inch
action figures.
Not
the same.
Right.
Yeah,
that's when they started the comic book then. Because nobody was buying the...
Well, there'll be a lot of merchandise with this, I'm sure. So
gotta love the merchandising.
What do you like working on best? Action film? Comedy? Drama? Do you have a favorite? Or
as an actor, I've learned that one has to be versatile in the industry.
Right.
And that's the only way you can let your creative juices flow.
Right.
You have to be free. Art has to be free. So I enjoy all different aspects. I love comedy. I'll enjoy making people laugh if I can. I enjoy drama, particularly if it has, a good message. Like I mentioned, Royal Pains. Yes, I'm playing a very difficult man, but that's to show similar fathers or parents who are difficult to their children, that you have to let go.
Sure.
And doing G.I. Joe Retaliation was very exciting because it's not only is it because it's such a big, budget film, but it was also that you're being part of a bit of a historical situation here with the comic books, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now, what about TV versus film? Do you have a preference there?
I enjoy television a lot because you have longevity. versus films. If it's not going to be, there's no sequel to it.
Right.
It's a one-shot deal,
yeah.
Which is not bad.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, if you're doing a good story, a good film, why not? But television certainly gives you longevity as an actor.
Speaking of television, now that we've already talked about film and television, why don't you tell us a little bit about Fiber One?
Oh, my Fiber One series.
What did that do for your career?
I think it was great. It was a wonderful experience, and it started in the summer of 2007, and it ended in May of 2011.
So that was a good run.
That's a good stint.
Yeah, it was a good, yeah. And this year, in January, they started airing one of my spots, which is titled ESP, where I'm sort of reading the girl's mind, in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting, because I thought, you know, the campaign is over.
Right.
Obviously, they have to come up with new stuff.
Right.
And to me, what was more exciting about this was when you would run into people in the street and they would tell you that their doctors or their nutritionists have actually told them to use the product, then you're doing something good, aren't you?
Sure.
So that, you know, that was really sort of gratifying.
Right. Did they give you a lifetime supply of Fiber One?
My dear friend, I didn't get one box.
No, that's
Do you know,
terrible.
Everyone, I was interviewed, and I think you guys have seen those photographs on the Entertainment Weekly 3 years or two years ago, and it's on my thing. And you know, she asked me, she says, and everyone thinks I've got this warehouse full of Fiber One,
right.
And I'm handing them out in the entire neighborhood. I didn't get one box for that. But not that I expected it. I went and bought it myself.
Yeah, but you would figure that they would, I mean, just
I
toss
guess,
them
well,
a case.
I guess,
but they were very generous. We did a fundraise. Well, actually, what they did was they delivered a lot of food, cereal products to the LA Food Bank in 2009 and to pack bags for the elderly. So I did that once with them, and this was in conjunction with AWRT, American Women Radio and Television.
Right.
And it was a great afternoon on a Saturday, and they and General Mills Foundation, which is basically you know, who handles all this sort of charity stuff that they do
right.
on behalf of General Mills. They do a lot for the entire country and the communities. And they gave 3 pallets. I have never seen so much Fiber One in my life. I thought they were just going to deliver a few cartons. And
right.
suddenly I came and there was this whole mountain of Fiber One.
Well, I tell you, I'm tempted to go out and buy myself some Fiber One.
Yeah, you did a good job with that commercial. Because
thank you.
When you're on that commercial,
yeah.
like you just said, Mark, I felt like going out and buying a box.
Yeah.
Now, that was only a commercial, but you were highly recognizable in that role.
Right.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
all
yes,
of a sudden
true.
You became like an overnight celebrity. I mean, the people coming up to you and... There was something about it. It was very, very noticeable.
I think it was fun. And you know, I what you have, and the credit really goes to their, I call it the Fiber One team at General Mills and their advertising agency, Saatchi & Saatchi, that created these spots. And the opportunity that I had to work on them and had so much fun doing it and worked with some wonderful actors too.
How many actual commercials did you do for Fiber One?
I did 11.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I want to put a shout out to General Mills because they've got a new sweet potato chip.
And they're going
to
be in one of our upcoming events.
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Kentucky Derby in 5 weeks. General Mills is providing us, I don't know what the name of the chip is, but it's
a
new
chip.
Sweet potato potato chip. And they're giving us 500 bags in 5 weeks for the Kentucky Derby. So shout out to General Mills for Fiber One and for their new sweet potato chip.
Now the point is, does it have fiber?
I guess we'll find out in 5 weeks.
There you go.
But thanks, General Mills, and Corporal Mills, or whoever, what other ranks you've got there, General Mills.
So back to the Fiber One. I know you just said that they recently started showing in Dublin. Is there a possibility that you could come back for a commercial? I mean, do they do that with
recurring?
Well, who knows? Listen, I'm
11 commercials. Yeah. That's quite a bit.
There's 9.
Yeah. I give it as a. It was over a period of 4 years.
Yeah.
So, and then it stretched out. It was fun. Yeah. Hey, listen, if they want me back, you know, they know how to get hold of me. So.
Great. What are your thoughts about doing something where you're a voice like in an animated film?
I've done Johnny Bravo Goes to Bollywood, which is also it's on my website. You can
okay,
see
great.
It.
Okay, great. Oh, and by the way, Ajay, why don't you share with us your website?
Yes, it's ajaymehta.tv.
Okay.
That's ajaymehta.tv.
And this has an update of everything you're working on, which you've
done
in the past.
Yeah, I do put some, you know, some of my clips of stuff that I've done. And in fact, talking about commercials, I've got a new Snapple commercial coming out in the summer.
Great.
So that'll be fun, too.
I like Snapple.
Snapple's good stuff. Let's see if you'll...
Healthy, refreshing.
Hopefully, maybe you'll get a couple cases of that.
I tell you, yes, that would. I wouldn't mind that. Yes.
Maybe you could put that in your
stock it in the fridge. Yes.
A couple cases of Snapple, yeah, please.
Couple cases. I know when for our events and when we're involved with different things, we like to say while you're at it, give us enough.
Throw us
an extra case, or throw us an extra trip.
Whether it be an energy drink, a bottle of water, or whatever.
Throw us a box of this. We always like to incorporate
a little bit extra off the top for us.
A little bit extra for sure.
Yeah.
So Snapple, when is that going to be?
I think it's starting in the summer because it's a summer drink.
Yeah.
I don't know when they'll start airing it, and I play this rather sort of boring mathematics professor.
Well, you run the gamut.
Yeah.
From villain to commercial to this to that to this. Anything else? I mean, are you doing anything on your own as far as whether it be writing or directing?
Producing? I've got a couple of comedy projects that I'm basically dabbling in.
Comedy,
Yeah.
Like comedy is difficult, they say.
It is difficult because I think in acting, it's one of the most difficult things to do is to make someone laugh.
That's a difficult one. You're right about that. Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned it because just the other day I was talking to my son and he's saying like, boy, why can't these guys come up with something funnier?
Yeah.
And I told my son, writing for comedy is not easy.
Yes, because absolutely. That's the Snapple one.
The Snapple commercial. Ajay is sharing a photo with us for a Snapple commercial.
Absolutely.
Comedy is never easy.
It's not easy.
You know, drama or
if you stumble across horror, it in conversation or socially, that's great. But if you're doing it in front of people.
I couldn't write anything funny.
Yeah.
You know, I just couldn't. Writing a song.
It's a gift. It's an art. It's something that some people just have.
You could be a comedian and stumble into acting or what have you. You can't be an actor and just stumble into comedian.
Right. It's something you. I guess you might have to be born with it.
It's the funny bone.
That's good.
It's
a gift.
It's the funny bone.
It's the funny bone. Not everybody has the funny bone. You can laugh when you hear a good joke, but I couldn't write anything funny, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't write anything funny. So kudos to these people that week after week can crank out this Rules of Engagement, How I Met Your Mother, Seinfeld, and all this stuff week after week. The great comedy, great writing. Without the great writers,
writing is tough in the first place just for a great show, but then when you have to throw in the component of being comedic,
it's a challenge.
Don't give enough credit to the writers sometimes.
That's a fact.
And I think it's you're absolutely right.
I think when you're in the industry like you are, you probably respect it a little more as opposed to the outside people like us.
Absolutely, but as an actor, because they give you the ammunition to create
these
characters. And that's what we do as actors. We give it a body and a soul.
Right. Any interest in directing?
At this point, no. But really more in producing. Well, that's what I'm trying to focus on. Because as an actor, you also have to be very proactive with your career.
Right.
It's one thing to just wait for an audition or something and projects that you're already on. But you always have to constantly keep those creative juices flowing to do something productive.
Is there anything special that you would look forward to being a part of, whether it's a certain a franchise for movies, let's just say James Bond, or if it was a certain TV show?
You'd make a good villain in the next James Bond movie.
You would.
I think that'd be great.
Hey, listen, brown is in, man.
There you go.
Very popular, I said, post 9/11, if you're brown, you get the frown.
I like that.
Write that down, Mark. We might have to use
it. But wouldn't he make a good villain in the next James Bond picture?
You would.
Yeah.
I'd love to, sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Now, that's a great franchise, isn't it?
I mean,
that's brilliant.
And especially this last one, Skyfall.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Great music, great acting, great story, great villain.
I mean, they've come such a long way from the days of Sean Connery and
they stumbled a little bit along the way there, but now with Daniel Craig,
I think he's terrific. Oh, I think
he's back to where Sean Connery used to be.
He's tough. You don't want to mess with him.
Yeah.
We stumbled a little bit. Roger Moore had a couple of good movies, but then near the end it kind of got ridiculous.
Which, by the way, really quick, in Glendale, the Alex Theater is showing a Q&A for Octopussy and License to Kill.
Oh, when is this going to be?
I don't know. I just saw it in the marquee this morning.
Octopussy
Alex parts Theater. Of it was...
In India.
We saw that in India.
Louis Jordan was the villain.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to mention that. That is in India.
The Fabergé egg or something.
I think so. But yeah, it was in India, and Louis Jordan played the villain.
The villain.
Yeah, that's right. Great.
But that would be a great franchise to be...
I would love to be part of that.
But other than that, is there any other goals that you have? A certain show that you like to be on?
There's some wonderful new dramas that have started, which I'm also looking at. My manager and my agent are working on, and some that have been going on for a couple of years. that I'd love to be part of, including some good comedy shows. It's just a matter of fitting in to something, because sure. It's like each show, you have to see it like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
The series regulars are the pieces that fit,
mm-hmm.
and every week they've got to make the other pieces fit with the guest stars and the co-stars.
Right.
And that's basically what happens on television.
Do you find over the course, or since, let's just say, since 9/11, are there more open roles for you, or are they limited now?
No. I think it's very encouraging to see that television has brought in a lot of people from the Indian subcontinent.
Right.
As you can see from some of the shows that you mentioned, including Rules of Engagement, that has an Indian character on it. So that. Because it's the changing landscape of America.
Right.
It's the new America where you've got two governors that are Indian Americans, as you can see. And that's basically what is being reflected on television, because that's what television does. It reflects what is going on in your community.
Absolutely.
Basically, and in your state or wherever.
Big Bang Theory has an Indian.
Well, I mentioned Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's, he's been there. He's done rather well for himself.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see them infusing you in some capacity in that show.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you could be the father. Have they introduced the parents?
Yes, they have.
The mother. Oh, that's right. She's but what about the father? Have they had? Has the father been in?
I don't believe so.
We know the mother.
The mother.
Okay.
The mother,
really?
Okay. Because the mother's visited one of the Wild Creations gifting.
She's been to several of them.
Right.
Very. I can't recall her name, but very friendly.
Hey, by the way, is Persis Kambata still out there?
No, she passed away.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, you lost. I think she died several years ago.
Oh, wow.
Rather young, actually.
She was the bald one in the original Star Trek movie.
Star Trek.
Oh. Persis Kambata, bald Indian.
Yeah.
No, I think Indian actors on American television and even in films, we've come a long way.
Absolutely.
It's been quite a journey.
I
remember, you know, from the 80s to the 90s, how things have evolved and changed. And it was very encouraging to see the younger generation coming up and becoming part of different TV shows, because a lot of these actors that you see have also come from some Ivy League colleges, done their MFAs, BFAs, you know, which is basically in fine arts.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of colleges, your accent, Audrey, sounds very
refined,
distinguished, like if you're a graduate of Oxford.
English educated?
No, I went to a boarding school in India. It's in the state of Rajasthan, where Octopussy was shot. It's called Mayo College.
Okay.
And it's an old... It was an Etonian style boarding school.
It sounds very for the royalty.
It was for the Indian royalty in 1875.
It fits right. It's like your Cambridge or Oxford or what's the other one over there? Is it just Oxford and Cambridge?
Cambridge, those are the two.
It sounds very refined.
Yeah.
Very polished.
Then I went to university in Delhi, and I went to a well-known college there. It's called St. Stephen's College.
Yeah.
And some good institutions. Very grounding. The education was solid.
Mm-hmm.
They really, that's what you really carry on in your life, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Well, Ajay, we'd like to thank you for coming in this week and being our first celebrity guest in the Tastemakers.
Thank you for having me.
Sharing your career with us. And a big shout out for this weekend. Everybody out there, get out and see G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. And then
Retaliation.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's right.
And look forward to watching Rectify on Sundance Channel
coming in April.
And
look forward to
possible return for
Royal Pain.
Fiber One.
And let's not forget the Snapple One commercial.
That's right.
So we've got a lot. We've got a big couple of months here for Ajay Mehta.
And Ajay, thanks for taking your time to come into our gifting lounges as well.
Oh,
we appreciate
thank you.
That. We got one coming up for the Emmys on Rodeo Drive in September.
There
you go.
Yep.
You'll know you get
now,
your
you
invite.
Guys do a, I have to say, you guys do a terrific job. It's very nice, very friendly, and a lot of fun. And the vendors that you get are very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Ajay.
You. It's always good to hear kudos from our guests.
Yes.
I mean, because we don't get to see that very often.
Because we leave, we carry all the goodie bags, and we're gone.
You come in, you go,
and you go to the next gifting event, and then we don't see you again until the next one. But right now, we're set for September. For our Emmy gifting suite, and we are working on something that may be exciting in the latter part of June. Yeah. So details to follow, but this is something.
It's going
to
be a good one.
This
will
stay tuned for details, but it should be exciting. All right? Right. So we're going to start winding it down here now. So we thank everybody for listening in.
And we look forward to...
Well, and let's close it out by saying watch Storage Wars every Tuesday night
every Tuesday
A&E.
Night at A&E.
The Kings of Swag, the Tastemakers, the Harris Brothers are coming back to a TV close to you, I guess, next Tuesday.
A&E. Tastemakers, Storage Wars.
Storage Wars.
The Kings of Swag.
The Kings of Swag.
And if you have a moment, check out our website at wowcreationsmedia.com.
So we thank you for listening in this week's edition of the Tastemakers, and we look forward to seeing you or listening to you, or you can listen to us again
next
one week from today at 12 o'clock Pacific time. And goodbye, and have a great week from the Tastemakers.
Ciao.
You're listening to Mark and Matt Harris, the Tastemakers, right here on LA Talk Radio.